This is Scarlett Robertson, and you're listening to KBIA's Off the Clock, a weekly guide to arts and culture across the state. This week, we hear how one person deals with homesickness when home is almost 10,000 miles away. But first, we hit the streets of Columbia on bikes. The Columbia Public Works Department wants to expand construction projects that encourage walking and cycling. City Council will decide on whether to approve its request for $6 million federal grant dollars next month. Earlier funding had also gone to bicycle education programs, but this was discontinued in 2010. Right now, bicycle advocacy group PedNet continues to provide those lessons. KBIA's Lee Jian Chan looks at how one of those courses is helping the littlest of bicyclists.
When some parents think of their kids riding to school, their concerns vary.
Head injury, sharing the road,
safety,
helmets, being aware of their surroundings, and distractions.
But Columbia's Bike Brigade might make the difference for children when riding to school. It's the end of the day at Smithton Middle School, and students are shuffling out the back doors. Beside the bicycle rack, instructor Gina Overshiner is helping Ella, Henry, and Lily get ready for the trip back home. They're piling books and clothes into the milk crates attached to their bicycles. Overshiner's own bike is massive and gray, with two saddlebags that hang over the back fender. They make up the Bike Brigade, a group of students who ride to and from school every weekday.
You know, they've been riding most of their lives in a minivan or maybe walking around neighborhoods, but never really biked much for transportation. So we start teaching them, you know, how to be aware of traffic, how traffic works, that, you know, if there's a stop sign, that means you, and you've got to stop.
The group stands out, with colorful stickers and zip ties decorating their bicycles. These accessories are not only for decoration. They represent a different milestone for each of the bicyclists. 12-year-old Ella Stroh explains.
I have two lightning stickers from riding in the rain. And then I have a flame sticker because I rode at the beginning of the year when it was really hot outside. And I have a few random fun stickers for surviving bike crashes and doing stuff like that.
The group heads east down Worley Street. Overshiner rides behind the three students, keeping an eye on each of them. The road from Smithton is narrow, and the group takes up a whole lane. Overshiner puts her hand out behind her, motioning to the other cars to slow down. And they do. A 2010 report by the Columbia Public Works Department says 80% of residents believe that the city is bike-friendly. Yet only 2% of cyclists were younger than 14. Many Smithton parents either drive their children to school or have them take the bus. The brigade arrives at their first intersection on Ash and Fairview. It's busy.
This is always like our most challenging intersection because the cross traffic doesn't stop. So we have to wait. And the kids are really good. They know, like, see where that sidewalk starts down there? If the cars are before that sidewalk, we have time to make it. And if we don't see the top of a car, oh my God!
Ooh. Don't worry, the kids are safe. One of the cars in the road rear-ended the other.
And you guys are doing okay? Let's just let this guy get out of the way here.
Overshiner says only 17% of bicycle accidents involve vehicles. Most happen when cyclists lose control and crash. Overshiner is also the bicycle program manager for PetNet. Her job is to teach her students to never lose control.
I invariably have so many parents who, like, talk to me or email me, like, later about, you know, how, like, you know, my child is, like, so much more self-confidence, they're so much stronger, they're so much more willing to try things, you know, because they've been biking and because they've gotten out.
The Public Works Department stopped funding PetNet 2 years ago, though the group continues to offer lessons. These classes manage to survive mainly on grants and corporate sponsorships. They teach students about basic handling, traffic laws, and why bicycling is important for the environment.
That we have so much kind of designed our lives to be like inside of a car or inside of a house or like in front of a screen, and we don't just get out and sort of experience that there's this whole like great, really nice place called outside, and actually people are pretty nice to each other and people don't really want to steal your children.
So, if you see a cluster of bicycles on the road decorated with different colored zip ties, it's probably the Bike Brigade riding to school. And if you learn as they have to share the road, who knows? Gina Overshiner might just give you an animal sticker. Li Jianzhong, KBIA News.
You know how certain smells can bring back memories? Well, the same goes for food. In our next audio essay, KBIA's Haroom Helmi gives new meaning to the term comfort food.
My great aunt makes the best tempeh dish. She stir-fries it. The cubed tempeh are mixed in oil with fresh chilies, garlic, bay leaves, some soy sauce, served piping hot on a bed of steamed rice. The first bite is always amazing. The stir-fried tempeh has an earthy, spicy, wonderfully savory burst of flavor you'll never forget. Sometimes I lay awake in bed just imagining that first bite, and then the bite after that, then the bite after that, and then, welcome, this is how I cope with homesickness. I wasn't always like this. When I still lived in Jakarta, I take stir-fried tempeh for granted. We eat it all the time. My grandaunt would make it for special occasions. My grandfather's birthday, my grandparents' wedding anniversaries, religious holidays, like when we marked the end of the Muslim fasting month. At one point, I remember even being bored by the dish. It's so basic, a stir-fried soybean product. That's all it is. But in the past 4 years that I've been living abroad, the dish has taken a whole new meaning. My mother once risked getting arrested. She crossed into U.S. soil with a dish, all frozen in a Tupperware like some common contraband. She refused to declare the food product to customs, lest they wish to confiscate it. My great-aunt herself, upon learning that I would be in Indonesia for a month over school winter break, immediately made enough stir-fry for me to eat every day for 30 days. She sent it over to my mother's house, days before I'm even scheduled to arrive. My grandmother always makes sure she serves the dish every time I visit her house. You see, my great-aunt's stir-fried tempeh is not just your regular stir-fried tempeh. It's the food that reminds me most of home. Maybe because we only eat it during those special family gathering occasions. But most likely, it's because it represents the length some people have taken to make sure I can eat my favorite food.
That's it for Off the Clock this week. Log on to kbia.org to listen to podcasts of this show and all our shows. Thanks for listening.